Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor to Brisbane, Queensland. Reporting on the European Union and Australia talking trade. Scott Maiman of CBS News is here. Scott, this headline is disappointing. What can you tell me about these negotiations? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. This is basically at a stalemate. It's been known for many years now that the European Union wants Australia to stop using names for products, things like Prosecco, feta cheese, that's as an example, because they're pretty much European markets that hold these names. So they want Australia to change those names, keep them away from the European derivation of it all. That is one of the arguments going forward. It's the naming rights. And that seems to be the stumbling block here. Talks in Brussels have now stalled. This is about the amount of access that local producers should be given to Europe's markets. But it also works conversely. So the Trade Minister, Don Farrell, here says that, well, yes, a deal can be reached eventually. But there's an awful lot of diplomacy that goes into this. And that is the main stumbling block, not necessarily the costs involved or things like that. It seems to be the naming rights for this thing. And this has been an ongoing problem for years.
1,000 kilometers, I believe, from the continent of Australia is a series of islands called New Zealand. And they're doing very well here, according to the AP report. The European Union signed a free trade agreement with New Zealand that the two sides expect will increase bilateral trade by up to 30% within a decade. Is there a contest, and are you losing in Australia? What's happening, Scott?
Well, there are some existing members of this trade deal. Australia is one of them, Brunei, Canada. You will recall the US used to be part of this trade deal as well, the Pacific, but Donald Trump in 2017, removed the US, pulled out of that agreement. But it is an ongoing event. The UK, hopeful that this weekend's trade deal gathering will see the UK signed up part of this Pacific trade deal. It is worth a lot. It's home to about 500 million people, worth 15% of the GDP, if the UK can actually be part of this trade agreement. China is also on the list of applicants to join the group. But they submitted their application sometime after the UK did. So it'd be interesting to see where this goes next when they consider China on that list of applicants as well.
New Zealand signs with the European Union and with the UK, is that it?
Yeah, that's to be ratified this weekend if the UK, which is pretty much a formality, the UK will eventually be part of this agreement. But it's all to do with the signing this coming weekend, John.
We go now to Australian news. Positive news, but still, we're looking at a story that I find difficult to understand. This has to do with a trial that's ongoing from a volcano that happened in New Zealand. Is the trial in New Zealand or in Australia?
John, the trial's in New Zealand. That seems to be where the sovereignty of this case is. You will recall 22 people were killed. They were guests on a cruise ship that was visiting the White Island volcano when it erupted in New Zealand. Now, a US couple, Matt Urey and his wife Lauren from Richmond, Virginia, they were one of the first to give evidence at this trial. It's a judge-only trial. It's going on for about 4 months. It just started this week. Some of the testimony has been graphic, and I'm not going to repeat just how graphic it is for the question of taste, but it is just horrific, some of the injuries that were sustained. WorkSafe New Zealand laid the charges against six defendants. It's over health and safety failings. What warnings did they have? What sort of precautions did they put in place? And that seems to be the substance of that that trial that's currently underway.
A detail about New Zealand, because I find it exotic to report on the news. There was that attack with a hatchet several weeks ago at my memory is a restaurant or a fast food store. Has there been any more information about that attack or the trial or the perpetrator?
It's my understanding, John, that that it's now subject to internal court processes. We probably won't hear any more until the month of August, when I, from memory, that is due to go back to court. It's also substance to a mental health investigation involving the alleged accuser, the man carrying the axe. It's in an area of Auckland, just on the outskirts of Auckland, that houses a variety of Chinese restaurants. So it's more than one restaurant that this alleged incident occurred. But we have to wait for that mental health assessment to come back, John.
The cutback in the Australian budget, $1.2 billion for satellites that they're not going to purchase. Is this seen as a positive, as Australia going to the commercial space? How did the Australian government explain this cutback?
Yeah, the Australian government says, well, it's budgetary. We just can't afford it. Something had to be cut from the budget, and this was it. Now, the Space Industry Association here in Australia has released a statement, intensely disappointed at the decision to abolish Australia's first national space mission and cut more than $1 billion in the Australian space program. So it's not good at all. It does impact our exploration future from the Australian perspective, but more so it impacts our relationship with the US and other countries who've been relying on things that we were already talking about.
You reported this a week ago. Has there been pushback against the government from the op-ed pages or from the TV commentators? And people talked about this is disappointing. I understand the industry itself is going to be disappointed, but what about the public?
The public figures and some of the commentary, the opinion pieces, is what I just mentioned to you a moment ago. What impact is this going to have globally? We have never really been a world leader in space exploration. We leave that for you guys, of course. But we were considered a strong contender to be part of NASA, to be part of the World Space Exploration Program. This is being considered a significant setback, not just for Australia, but also our relations with the global entities like NASA and other parts of Europe that we're relying on information that we were going to provide in the years to come.
Let's speak well of Australia and outer space. There's a wonderful story at Australian Broadcasting. Australian startup aiming to grow plants on the moon within 4 years receives government funding. So the government is not funding building satellites, but it is funding growing plants on the moon. This is a quite serious story. This is not a send-up. They're taking what they've learned from growing plants in the severe conditions of your desert, and they're applying it to the moon. Is this gaining attention in Australia? Because it's quite visionary.
It's just crazy, isn't it? It sounds nuts, but it is actually happening. So Australian researchers, they want to help NASA engineers find some robust desert-type plants to send to the moon.
Right.
Now, the project is aiming to grow seedlings on the lunar surface by the year 2026. Now, as you know, the moon's surface will fluctuate anything from minus 350 degrees to anything to like plus 80 degrees Fahrenheit, I'm talking about. And of course, there's a lack of atmosphere as well, the intense temperatures. So they're looking at what can Australian desert do to help in this investigation. There's already a TV show called Stars on Mars, which is based in the outback of Australia, dealing with the outback of Mars. But What about the moon? Can we sustain something? This is what's under investigation by Australian researchers. And they're looking for plants that the species that can germinate in these horrid temperatures on the moon. So this is a case you just want to watch this space, John.
The name of the startup is Lunaria One. A co-founder's name is Graham Dorrington. This is Scott Maiman, CBS News. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.